mercy and peace be to you from the God who is, the God who was, and the God who will always be. Amen. There's an ancient story that shows up in a lot of different cultures. As you will find, it's actually in our culture as well. But first I want to tell you the story from the tradition of what's called the Hasidic tradition. Hasidic, you've got to say it a little in the back of your throat. It's the Hebrew Yiddish word, Hasidic. It's an Orthodox tradition, and it is originated in Ukraine, actually, in the western Ukraine, eastern Poland. And this is their story. Rabbi Yitzhak, son of Rabbi Yekel, was leading a very poor community in Poland, in this case. But he had these dreams. The dream was about him going to Krakow and going to a bridge leading to the palace. Under the bridge is buried a great treasure that would have solved all of the problems of his poor Polish village. And so, after dreaming this dream three nights in a row, he took off for Krakow, or for Prague, I should say. He's from Krakow. He goes to Prague. In Prague, he finds the bridge leading to the palace. But it's guarded day and night by guards that never leave the place. So he keeps walking around, back and forth, trying to find an opportunity to dig for this treasure that will solve all of his community's problems back in Krakow. But he never finds an opportunity to do the digging. Finally, the captain of the guard comes up to him and says, "Can I help you? What are you doing? Walking back and forth, friend." And he says, "Well, let me tell you the truth. I had a dream three nights in a row that if I go to this bridge in Prague, under the bridge is buried a treasure of enormous value, and I'm waiting for an opportunity to dig here, and you guys are walking around." The guard says, "Oh, you fool. I've had a very similar dream that I should go to a town called Krakow and go to a house owned by a rabbi named Yitzhak, son of Yekel. And underneath the stove, there's a great treasure. But I'm a reasonable man, and I would never follow such a dream as that. For one thing, if I went to Krakow, I know that every other Jew is named Yitzhak, and all the rest of the males are called Yekel. I would never find such a treasure. So you've worn out your shoes coming here to find a treasure that doesn't exist." And Yitzhak says, he merely bows to the guard, turns around and goes back home to Krakow, moves his stove in his house, digs there and finds the treasure. And it was enough for him to build a school, a shul, they call it in Yiddish, a shul named after the shul for Yitzhak and Yekel. These stories in the Hasidic tradition don't necessarily have morals, but the rabbi who tells the story would often say, the treasure is at home, but news of it is in Prague. There is, as I said, a number of such journey stories, heroic journeys, hero journeys they're called, from Hans Christian Andersen's children's tales. The Grimm's brothers had a go at a story very similar to this. In other words, the treasure is at home, but news of it is in a far-off land. You can recognize the form of this story. The hero of the story heads off to a distant country to find a treasure which could be his own true self. I'm going to take it for this morning to mean the essential wisdom that we live with and run our lives by. What is most valuable in life is at home, but news of it is in Prague. A sense of purpose, perhaps, a sense of direction. Wisdom, let us call it for this morning. But the discovery along the way is always accidental. It's not where you're looking for. Not where you're looking for it. You must go to Prague or some distant, far-off place to find news of the treasure that is at home. Now, you recognize the story, right? It's a story that we treasure, usually around early spring. There's a movie that comes on that I watched every spring when I was a kid. The Wizard of Oz. The story is told by L. Frank Baum, and it turns out that L. Frank Baum whose idea of this story was kind of a wanderer himself. He was wandering around the country trying to make his way. He was a failure at everything. He went out west for an oil boom, and he failed at that. He tried chicken farming. I think that's funny. Tried chicken farming, and he failed at that. All failures. Then he wrote a children's story. You know the story. Story about Emerald City. Dorothy is the hero of the story. I suppose we should say heroine, but maybe in these enlightened times we can be heroes. Women can be actors. Don't need to be actresses. Dorothy is the hero of this journey, and she is seeking a way home after a cyclone has whipped her off of her farm. And she lands in a place called Oz. On the way, she finds three men. The Tin Man, who needs a heart. The Lion, who needs courage. Or as it was played by Bert Lahr with his New York Manhattan accent, courage. I need courage. And the Scarecrow, who needs a brain. The heroic journey takes Dorothy and her three companions through some difficult terrain. The one I found most difficult to watch as a child was the winged monkeys. Oh, my. I got over it, and now I can laugh while the witch releases her monkeys. The discovery, of course, in the Emerald City is that the Tin Man had a heart all along, the Cowardly Lion always had courage, and the Scarecrow always had a brain. The Wizard was a kindly, well-meaning fraud. But even his magnificent balloon could not get Dorothy back home. Finally, Dorothy discovers that the silver shoes that she had taken from the wicked witch that the house had fallen on just needed to be clicked together three times, and she would go home. Wisdom. The wisdom of the wise. I love the fact that wisdom in Greek, the Greek word for wisdom is Sophia. Sophia, my good friend Gail Miller, is from this congregation, and her daughter's name is Sophia, right? I love that name. A woman's name, a girl's name. The third story I'll mention for this morning is better known to all of us, is the story of Jesus Christ, who is on a hero's journey that begins in the most humble of places, like the poor city of Krakow. It begins in the most humble of circumstances. A cave, according to some traditions, an ox's feeding trough, in the last available room in the city, according to other traditions. Despite these circumstances, we proclaim all along that God is with us. We are not alone. God is Emmanuel. We have a rightful place in the household of God wherever we are. But we must travel with this Emmanuel all the way to the cross to discover that central truth. God is with us in our wisdom, in God's wisdom that sustains us. But knowledge of that is in Golgotha. We have to work our way in this journey, and we take this journey every year through Ash Wednesday, through Lent and Holy Week, through betrayal and death. Only at Easter do we discover the enduring truth of what that can possibly mean. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of time. Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. Wisdom that we get by going to a far off place, which leads us back home. Now, as I was working on this sermon this week, I thought, but is really the goal to be back home? Or is back home a stepping off place, a place for us to re-energize so that we may go out to Prague again and back home? I don't know. I don't know how to finish that. Home is the place where we re-energize so that we can go again. The word for church in Greek is ecclesia, ecclesiastical. It means the ones who are called out from home. But we must go home in order to find ourselves so that we may have the courage to continue to go out. Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God, the Word of God, made flesh and dwells among us all the time. Amen.